Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Well, in the story of the widow of Nain, we have an example to be lived and an experience to be had. An example to be lived and an experience to be had. Let's just take a look at the passage for a moment and see if we can flesh that out. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. These things are so important. A funeral is in process. It's the only son of this woman, and she is a widow. These are not insignificant details. For in that day, it was very patriarchal. A woman was not easily provided for if she didn't have a husband or a son. She is already a widow, and now her son has died. A large crowd had gathered with them, and when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." When the Lord saw her, when he saw the pain that she was in, the fear she must have been experiencing, he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Think about the kindness and the tenderness that's being expressed there. Jesus giving the boy back to his mother. He knows deeply her fears. He knows deeply her pain. He knows deeply her need for provision. And the Lord is making that provision for her. So what do I mean when I say there's an example to be lived and an experience to be had? Well, of course, the first purpose of the story is to reveal the power of God, that people would be drawn to him, and they are, of course. Word about him spread quickly in all the surrounding areas. That's the first purpose of it. But in the scene, in the acts of Jesus himself, an image is being revealed that we are to live. Go back to 2 Corinthians 3, always there before us, that we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus with ever-increasing glory. And so the likeness matters. What do we see in Jesus? And we see both compassion and we see power. Compassion and power. How do we see compassion? In those details that I pointed out, he's keenly aware of this mother's pain, keenly aware of the fear that must be within her, that now the last of her hope in terms of provision has died. And what do we see in the person of Jesus? His heart goes out to her. His heart goes out to her. And then, of course, in power, he does something wonderful. He touches the coffin, tells the boy to rise and to get up, and he does. Compassion and power of Jesus. Well, that's an image that we are to live. That's the likeness into which we are being transformed. So we're being asked to live out that same image in the lives, in our lives as we interact with other people. And as the power of the Holy Spirit is active upon us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus, that should be happening. Now, sometimes our hardness of heart stands in the way. Sometimes we're not moved by what we see. I mentioned last week that sometimes we see the poor, but we really don't take in their plight because we don't want to be moved or touched by it, because then we would have to act upon it. And so sometimes we set that aside. But if we're going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, we're going to see the pain of other people, and we're going to actively engage them where they are. See that pain and act upon it. Not see that pain and walk by. Not see that pain and say a prayer and be passive in our response. We're going to see pain and respond to what it is that we see. And that's how we're to engage other people, to see where they are, to note the pain that is within them or the joy that is within them, whatever it is that is within them. It's the person that matters. It's what's going on with them that matters. And we want to engage them. And of course, we want to act upon what we see in power. Now go you're going, John, but we can't touch a coffin and say to a dead boy, get up, and watch him get up. It's true. We can't. But you know, often there is within us the ability to meet someone else's need if we'll let God act through us. Can we see a widow in pain and provide? Can we as a community of faith rise up around those who are in need? Can we address things that we see? Often we can. And at the very least, we can pray to the God who is a power and does say to a boy, get up, and he rises. You know, too often we live our faith out as if it was in the past, as if we're talking about these great stories from history, as if God isn't, as if Jesus isn't seated at the right hand of his Father and still exercising power in this world through the Holy Spirit. But he is. He is. I mean, I think about there were lots of obstacles and some not easily overcome when we moved here to Plant Grace Community. But the biggest obstacle, this is, mind you, in 2010, was selling our home. One of the worst markets in history. We honestly just stepped out in faith and we said, okay, sell. That would be the best, really the only affordable thing. Rent, I don't know what that would look like, but if we have to do it, we'll figure out how to do it. It really never occurred to us that our home would sell in 11 days. Did we get what we were asking for? No, but we got more than the market should actually have probably given it. The Lord overcame that obstacle. We needed a provision to get here in order to plant the church, and he acted powerfully to make that happen. Now, were there other things, details that were painful and seemingly not overcome? Yes, but he gave us the strength to bear through them. He doesn't fix everything, but he does act, and he acted in a powerful way. I was on the campus of Georgia Tech again on Friday evening doing some training, and I encountered this woman who wanted so much to know how to rescue a relationship, to use her words. And we talked about it for a moment. We prayed, and I continued to pray that night and wrote her the next morning and said that I'd been praying for her. And she reported back. She said, I engaged that woman last night in a conversation. I was G-chatting with her, and it was so important that I did, because she said in that conversation that she was so glad that we were talking because she found herself in a place without any hope. And so this woman in fear, I mean, she was so fearful. She had wrecked this relationship in her own mind, and she wanted to step out, and she found the courage to do it. God inspired her to do that. He answered the desires of her heart. And it was so meaningful to the woman that she was reaching out to, because she was at a place in her life where she had lost hope. So God is still at work to this day. Mind you, in the widow of Nain, he didn't make a grand provision. In some ways, of course, raising someone from the dead is pretty grand. I'm not even sure that we would be all that impressed. Because sometimes big things are necessary in order to grab our attention. I mean, sometimes we overlook the small ways in which God is answering prayer. Perhaps we would think for the widow of Nain, maybe she needs to win the Powerball. $590 million, largest in history, recently claimed. And, of course, it's within the power of God to do that. But does he do that? He may. Is that his standard operating procedure? Apparently not. But he does make provision. And in her case, provides her a son. We hope, we don't know the end of the story, we hope that he grows old and provides for her. I didn't even mention the pain of a parent having to bury a child. And that was overcome as well. So this is the example that we are meant to live. If we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, we want to be people who meet people with compassion and act upon their needs with power. Praying to the God who can help someone who is in need, at the very least, that power is within us. That's the image that we are to live. But it's also an experience we are to have. Because Jesus, as I've said, is alive to this day. He's at work to this day. And this is not something that is beyond us. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we availing ourselves of that power? Have we even figured out that we have a need? Are we like the widow of Nain? Have we come to a place in our lives where we need provision? Not a Powerball, but just enough to get by. The food to feed our family, the money to pay the rent. Just recently experienced another woman, lost her job in the spring, and she's really trying to close some real estate deals, trying to pay her bills and provide for her family. She asked me what I would do, and I said, pray, and I will pray with you as if God is going to act upon that need. And to pray expectantly as if He's going to do something. And I'm waiting anxiously to hear back what it is that He says to her. But this is an experience to be had for us as Christians. To know the power of God that was at work for the widow of Nain, knowing the compassion that God is feeling. You see, there are no details in our lives that are too small for Him to be concerned about. No problems too big. And He's concerned about us. He's concerned about me. He's concerned about you. Powerful and compassionate enough to act on our behalf as we have needs. So as we make our way through the week ahead, I mean, let us consider what our needs might be, where we've come to that place of having no hope, where we've come to that place of not feeling as if provision is on the horizon. And ask Him to meet our need and pray it expectantly. And wait to hear what God has to say. Don't look for the Powerball. Now, if you win it, share some of it with Grace. But don't look for the Powerball. Look at God's provision in the people that He's putting around you. Look at God's provision in the small things that He's making available to you. And don't miss out on Him being at work, because the God in Jesus who met the needs of the widow of Nain is alive and well and working today. And His power and His compassion are available to us. Let us not forfeit that. Let us not overlook it. But call upon it as we have need. Amen.